living on inside of us, but he didn't create us to worry. He didn't create us to fear. He created us as worshipers. So just worship the Lord in spite of it. And if you can't understand your praise, amen. So we're just going to sing this a little bit, and then we're going to get out your way, and then we're going to hear the word of God. Amen.
white man here and all of you being here. We serve a faithful God. And as I said on Sunday, God is faithful to us. But the really big question is, how faithful are we to Him? Amen. So we thank God we all have notes until whoever our visual person comes in, we'll start with our notes. Amen. So our cover says, where are the nine? And that's what we went over on Sunday. Where are the nine? And our second part of that would be, don't follow the crowd. Right? Where are the nine? But don't follow the crowd. So if we can just stand, well, you all can sit. We'll read our scripture. We'll read Luke 11 through 19. 17, sorry, 11 through 19. You all have that in your notes. If not, you can turn to your Bibles. And Luke 11, 17 through 17, 11 through 19. Amen. Amen. Well, my wife is standing. Everybody can stand.
Amen.
They're all standing. Reverence to God. Amen. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that we have a true relationship with God? And that our relationship with God is not built on anything but our devotion and commitment to Him? Can we say praise the Lord? All right, so Luke, the 17th chapter, start with the 11th verse. And it reads, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. He fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, where there are not 10 cleansed, but where are the nine? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. He said unto them, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word. Again, the church said, the word of the Lord is blessed already. Amen. And when we read this account of a stranger, someone who was outside the fold, they had the presence of mind to return and tell God, thank you for his miracle of healing and his miracle of deliverance. And as we said on Sunday, out of the 10, only one returned to say thank you. And the question that we always want to address ourselves, and the ones I'm so glad about God, is God does not hold anyone accountable for our salvation but us. Well, Paul said we ought to work out what? Our own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. So we're responsible for our salvation. So if you just take a reflection moment, and just think of how good God has been. The question that we should all ask ourselves and ponder in our hearts and in our mind is, how faithful have I been to tell God thank you for all of his wonderful blessings, all of his miracles of healing that he has done? So the question is, would I be considered the one, or would I be one of the nine? And tonight, this is the question that we have to ask ourselves. Am I the one? Why am I part of the nine? The nine was the crowd. They were so excited that they were healed that they forgot to return to tell the Lord thank you. Amen. So we just go into our notes here. We'll start in verse 12. Alright, says, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And leprosy was one of those contagious and deadly diseases. There was no cure for leprosy. Anyone that had leprosy could be in normal society. If you were married and had family, you couldn't be with your family because the disease was so contagious. And they were considered ceremonially ceremonially and religiously unclean. So leprosy was so bad that your body, your skin literally rotted off. Like the eyes, sockets, little, right? Those fell off, hands, ears. They just, it was a slow eating disease. So these men were confined to in their own colony. And you notice the scripture said they called to Jesus for where? Far off. Because a leper couldn't be within 100 feet of a normal person because of how deadly and how contagious this disease is. So it's important that we understand the setting for what the state that these men were in. They were confined to their own colony. They couldn't mix. Amen. Can you imagine having loved ones and family? You can't even be near them because of a disease. So they were confined to their own area. But they noticed, they see Jesus, and they called to him from afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, you know, they had to be in pretty bad shape. If you ever, I don't know if you've ever seen any pictures, they usually have rags and all stuff on them. Their whole bodies turned just completely white. Not a normal white, but the leprosy was like, it was being the equivalent to our today's cancer. It just ate you away. But it didn't eat you away from the inside, it ate you away from the outside. Right? So it was a deadly disease. So the Bible says when Jesus saw them, when he saw the condition that they were in, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Amen. And this was, they were excited to hear this coming from him because they knew that when you went to show yourself to the priest, only the priest could declare you clean. Right? So once the priest looked at you and declared you clean, then you could be accepted back into the normal society. Listen, these men couldn't go to the synagogue. They couldn't go to the temple. They couldn't do anything for fellowship or worship of anyone. The only thing they had was themselves. So they knew in going to the priest, only the priest could declare them clean. But the thing is this, they had to have enough faith in Jesus' word to go. All right, so that's important, you know. We know they didn't come back to say thank you, but at least they had enough faith to be obedient, because you cannot have faith without obedience. Right, so they showed their faith through their obedience. And the scripture said, as they went. You know, many times we have to realize that God allows us to go through things, but then he speaks a word to us to see if we are obedient. So many times we get discouraged because we don't get immediate healing. But when we walk in obedience, then our faith is exemplified. So many times we are in a situation and we get discouraged because we don't get immediately healed. Just stay obedient. Because your obedience shows your faith. So as they went, they were cleansed. I mean, they were made pure. Can you imagine being all torn up and messed up? Your body is beat up and just rotten and smelt, falling apart. Leprosy was one of those diseases you just plain smelled. Because your skin literally was rotting off. But the scripture says, as they went, they were made, they were cleansed, it means they were made pure. They were cleansed from their infirmity. Now, I think sometimes it's like when you get saved. When you get saved, you ought to be so excited that we've been cleansed from the sin that was taking us to hell. We should be so excited that we should be ready to run back to God. But the question is, in their excitement, how did they forget the very one that just healed them? In their excitement, how did they forget the healer? Amen. So I'm sure the Samaritan, if we use conjecture, I'm sure the Samaritan, when they saw they were healed, said to them, hey, let's go back and tell them thank you. They probably said, listen, we're healed now. We don't need them anymore. That's what happened to a lot of people when they get saved. Right? God performed the miracle of cleansing them and giving them a fresh start. And then they think the battle is over. And they don't realize that the battle is just beginning. Baptism in Jesus' name being filled with the Holy Ghost is the beginning of the battle, not the end. But the crowd said, listen, we got what we want now. We don't need the Lord. Saints of God, as long as we're in this flesh, we need the Lord. Can we say praise the Lord? So I'm sure he said, well, I don't know about you, Sometimes to do the right thing, you have to walk alone. So don't get caught up in the crowd and thinking they have to go with you. And verse 15 says, and one of them, he saw that he was healed. He knew this was a supernatural healing. This was a miracle. Anybody has some miracles in your life? Listen, has anyone had some miracles? Just think that the miracle God performed, don't stop thanking him. Amen. Don't stop blessing him for all that he's done for you. But he saw he had a miracle. And what does he do? He didn't hesitate. He turned back and with a what? Loud voice, he did what? Glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet. See, when God turns your situation around, remember, first when they called him, they were 100 feet away from him. They couldn't be near. But when God turned his situation around, he went right to the master and fell at his feet. He was prostrate. It's a position of worship. It's a position of being humble. So when he saw it, the first thing you can think of is, I need to go back to the very one that just healed me. Amen. And many times, we see it so much in church, God performed miracles of healing. Amen. As a matter of fact, my wife just showed me someone on the news. I won't mention their name. I don't know how many of you saw it last night. The guy with the bat that was breaking into all the stores. He got baptized in Jesus' name here 2 years ago. Yeah, we still have a certificate. He got baptized and never came back. All right, so you all look up. I don't want to say his name. Y'all just look it up. But he was the bat bandit that was robbing all the stores downtown Troy. And he had a drug problem, so I imagine that's what fueled him. But God had cleansed him. For a couple of days, he did good. But he stopped coming back to the one that healed him. It's important when God heals you, don't stop coming back to tell him thank you. Amen. I didn't even recognize who he was. And my wife said, hey, don't you remember him? I'm like, no. Then when he said his name and she said his name, I didn't remember him. About 2 years ago, 3 years ago, he came with Brother Deshaun and got baptized in Jesus' name. He was perfect. He was going to beat what was afflicting him. And he came for a couple of times, but if you don't fight that demon will control you. Amen. That demon will control you, so you have to fight the demon. But we don't want to say that. Let's keep going. All right. So this man, when he saw, I had a death sentence. My whole body was, not only was his body smelling apart and smelling, they were in constant pain and torment. When God healed them, the first thing he wanted to do is go back to God and tell him, thank you. Now, how many of us know that they all had families probably? The rest of them went to their family. But this man saw that he was healed. He went back to the healer. And we say, just thank you, Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And as I said, the question that we want to address within our soul and our spirit is God views us. Now, this isn't someone else asking, Jesus answered. He said, where are the 9? Tonight, will we be part of the 9 or will we be part of the 1? Amen? And he said, if they are not found, then return to give glory to who? God. Say this. He didn't have the spiritual pedigree because he was a Samaritan. But he still had a mind to worship. And that's so important. You don't have to be, a lot of times they say, well, if I was in your spiritual position, I'd get healing too. Go learn to worship him. Remember, we went over a few weeks ago, this guy's a, he's a, we've been killing him all day, that's all right. We let the Holy Ghost chase him around. he's right somewhere. But a few weeks ago, we went over the Syrophoenician woman. She was a Canaanite. But because she worshiped, God healed her daughter. Right? Then we went over the centurion. He was also an outsider. He was not a part of the Jewish pedigree. But he spoke faith. He acknowledged that Jesus was Lord, so God did what? Healed him. These are acknowledge him. Worship him and see what the Lord will do for you. Amen. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy what? Faith has made thee whole. Now the other man got healed, but only one God was made whole. Amen. So it's more, this is when those that God blesses, they miss it. Because they get healed and they rest in the healing, but they're not made whole. Well, the word, the Greek word for whole that they use is sozo. And sozo doesn't mean to be just healed, but it means to be saved. All right, I'm going to use some examples. Now, we have to remember, when Jesus is speaking, what language is Jesus speaking? Hebrew. Right? He's speaking Hebrew. So when he said, you've been made whole, they knew that it wasn't talking about a physical whole, but it was a what? Spiritual cleansing. Amen. When you're made whole, it is spiritual cleansing. Well, how do you get cleansed? By his works? No, but by his faith. He was made so. Sozo means to be saved. Amen. And I just made, you can look it up. There are so many other examples for what sozo means, but I just use these few examples so we can see that when Jesus tells them, he said, not only are you delivered, but you are on your way to heaven. Because you are saved. Well, how did you get saved? By what? Faith. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. Not of works, lest men should boast, but it is a gift of God. So our salvation is not based on our works. Amen. But we still should do works if we're saved. Because we should bring forth fruit that are meet for repentance. Amen. But Acts 2:21 says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be sozo. Now we know that Peter goes on to explain, you can't just call on him, but you have to also repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And for the scripture said that the Lord after this added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 4:12 says, now we talk, this is what Jesus tells him. He said, you're not just a physical healer, but you are spiritually healed. Lord, give me spiritual healing. Because I know I'm on my way to heaven. Somebody said, and I am so glad. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be sozo. So we're saved through what? Jesus' name. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Why? There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be. Is the Father a name? No. Is the Son a name? No. But is the Son a name? The only name is Jesus. That's the only name given under heaven among men whereby we must be sozo. And then we know about the Philippian jailer when the Lord sent that great earthquake and freed up Paul and Silas and the rest of the prisoners. He was about to kill himself. And they says, do yourself no harm. And then verse 30 says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be sozo? Sing. Right. So Jesus tells this man that he's speaking Hebrew. And I should have found the Hebrew word for saved. And I think the Hebrew word for saved is Yeshua. Because if you read Isaiah 12, it talks about the Lord, Jehovah, has become our salvation. All right, so I'm sure it's going to be somewhere with Yeshua, but I didn't look it up, so let's keep going anyway. All right, the nine figuratively represent the crowd. We're healed, but only one was healed and made tonight. How many of us have been made whole? I mean, so truly saved. How many of us are truly saved? Oh, thank you. You didn't just heal me, but you also saved me. Why? Because the one didn't follow the crowd, but he glorified God and returned back to the healer and what? Worship at his feet. There is something here in plain sight. sight as it teaches us that this Samaritan recognizes that Jesus, what does he do? He comes in and falls at Jesus' feet and he's in what? Worship. Right? Worship. So keep that in mind as we go forward. So he's worshiping. Now we know that they didn't believe in worshiping men, but they worshiped who? God. We can prove this to be true by comparing Exodus 20, 1 through 5 and Exodus 34, 14 with Revelation 19, 10 and Revelation 22, 9. And really, you can also go back to Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 5. They also deal, this is when they're dealing with the, in Revelation chapter 11, when they're dealing with the 24 elders that are around the throne in worship. All right, so you can go back to that, and then I think another portion of Revelation 19. Let's just go through this quickly. Now, he's falling down to worship, so he's representing something that you are missing if you just read the story. All right, so verse 1 of Exodus 20 says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought forth thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Is it what's been said? It must come out of the house of bondage? Out of the abundance of sin, Lord, we bless your name. Thou shalt have, God said, now I saved you, I delivered you, I healed you. Don't you have no other God before me? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them or serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, he said, you can't worship no God but the what? True God. So Exodus 34, 14 says, for thou shalt worship, what does it say? No other God, for the Lord, whose name is a. So this Samaritan falls down and he's worshiping. Right? So he said, well, Jesus is just a part of the Godhead. He said, you can't worship nobody but who? God. Right? So in hidden in plain sight, we see that he's worshiping. Now we know, and when we read Revelation, if this Samaritan was out of heart, he would have said, wait a minute, hold it. You can't worship me. You got to worship God. All right? So Revelation 19:10 says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, this is John in the book of Revelation, he said, he said unto me, see thou do it not. So there has to be something pretty angelic, something pretty spiritually powerful in order for John to want to fall down to worship. Right? This wasn't just a normal sinning. He wanted to worship, but the angel stopped. He said, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Right? So from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the only thing they worshiped was God. But the Samaritan falls down to worship. No one stops him, so we have to conclude that Jesus is God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 22:9 said, this saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sin, says, worship who? God. Amen. So it's so important that we understand. When this Samaritan falls down to worship, Jesus is not. Amen. I don't know why this keeps coming up. Let me switch up. He doesn't stop here, but he goes ahead and he worships. That's 1, 2, 1, 2. You don't hear me right. So he falls down and he worships. So if Jesus was not God, he would have had to say, stop. Right? Just like when the young ruler comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He says, he calls him good master. Right? And Jesus says, there's none good but God. None good but one, and that is who? But he doesn't say I'm not God. He said, there's none good but God. So why does he insert that in that conversation? Because sometimes hidden in plain sight, the Lord tells us who he is. He tells us 103. Now, God has not left any of us. Every day I wake up, God bless me. Every day I can walk around in my right mind, God has blessed me. Every day I have activity and use of my limb, God has blessed me. So this is the psalmist David. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and what? Do we must give God all praise, all worship? He said, what? All that is within me. Do what? Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. God gives us benefits. So why are you blessing the God? He said, when you see how bad my situation is, God will still bless you. God is still giving you the activities of your life. You're still in the right mind. You still should bless him because God is still giving us benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healeth all. So as you bless God, God continues to work. Right? He said he didn't do it in the past. He's continuing to do it. Giveth, healeth, and forgiveth means he continues. The ETH means he didn't just do it in the past, but he's still doing it. God is still forgiving us. God is still healing us. So for every day that we miss something, we wake up, we can bless the Lord because he's spared us to see another day. He didn't execute judgment on us, but he's a keeper. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Say, who redeemeth our life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies thy mouth with, Lord, we thank you for good things. Thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now let's go to Psalms 106. This is, a lot of times people try to figure out the combination. What does the combination of hallelujah come from? What does hallelujah mean? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. So this is David once again. He said praise. Praise is the Hebrew word halel. Ye the Lord, which is God. When you put halel and God together, what do you get? Hallelujah. That's what hallelujah means. Praise the Lord. Halel, God. Now we say hallelujah, right? Now we put a J in there today. But the J, as I told you a few weeks ago, the J did not exist until the 1500s, right? So it was hallelujah, not Jah, right? Because the letter J did not come into existence but become a part of the English vocabulary until the 16th century, somewhere in around the 1500s. So it was always the Y, all right? So it said, praise is halel, ye the Lord, Yah, which when you put the two of them together, it means? Halayah. Well, we say hallelujah. That's where we get hallelujah from, all right? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, his what? Mercy. Don't we all thank God for mercy? We're all God's mercy. We're all mercy's children. The Bible says his mercy is a new what? And great is his. God is so faithful to us. Lord, I just want to be faithful to you. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Then believe they his word. They sing his praises. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his help. So they just giving, when they were blessing the Lord for all that he had done, but they were like to deny, they forgot. They forgot to continue to worship and praise him, okay? They soon forgot his work, but they waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. Alright, so let's just get down. These are some very interesting songs. Read them in your spare time. We have a lot of them, right? Let's go down to verse 47. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of heaven from everlasting to everlasting. portion of Psalm 106. You can keep citing verses 106:1 and 47-40, and the psalm that was sung when he took the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. So 1 Chronicles 16:34-36, he repeats Psalms 106:1 and Psalm 106:47-40. When you know what? He presented the Ark. The Ark represents the what? Presence of God. So he presented the Ark. He said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 1 of Psalm 106 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And verse 35 says, saying, save us, O God, our salvation, and deliver us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. And all the people said, amen and hallelujah. That's what hallelujah means. Praise the Lord. Following the crown is oftentimes a sign of what? Rebellion towards God and his word. We know that, as I said on Sunday, when Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, they did not follow the crown. The rest of the crowd rebelled against God. Why? Because they fell down and worshiped. God said you shouldn't worship any other God but God. So they did not fall down to worship. Right? We can see that this is true if we read the account of the 12 spies that Moses sent out to spy out correct the power. Because they probably were powerful. Why he was correct myself. To spy out the land of promise. Let's go to Numbers 13:25. And they returned from searching out the land after 40 days. So Moses sent them out just to confirm what God had already said. He already knew it was true, but he was trying to build up the faith of the people. So he sent out 12 out of each tribe to confirm what God had already said. Now remember, 40, the number 40 signifies a change. Right? 40, after Jesus was in the mountain 40 days before that, he came down in power. That was a change. Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights. When he came out of the mountain of God, that was a change. So 40 is going to signify a change. Alright? And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and said unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. They told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth from Lebanon, and this is the fruit of it. So if what God has said about the land and the fruit was true, wouldn't also the deliverance be true? They said, listen, what God said is true, and this is the fruit of the land. Amen? He says, nevertheless, the people be strong and dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. God had already told them, he said, I'm going to give you the land. This is your land. This is your land flow of milk and honey. This is your promised land. Right? So when you follow the crowd, watch rebellion. Right? Because the crowd get more impressed with their numbers than obeying God. So this 10 of starting to fight what God has said. Then verse 30 says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men, this is the crowd. Right? So we had Moses, we had Joshua and Caleb that were the minority. Now we have the other 10, they are the majority, so they represent the what? The crowd. Saints, don't listen to the crowd. Don't follow the crowd. we're reading a little later at the end, the crowd will do things because it's the wrong way. But God doesn't want us in the wrong way. He wants us in His way. Amen? Said, so went up with them and said, we be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. Now listen, this is their perception, but they forgot what God said. So many times when we listen to people, we forget what God said because of all those numerous voices. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our home. That's what he messed up at right there. They looked at it through the wrong eyes. They're walking by sight and not by faith. Because faith would have been obedient to God. God says, go, you're going to receive it, and you're going to have a promise. And you're going to receive the promise, and you're going to be blessed. But when you begin to work with the crowd, you're going to rebel. And you go opposite of God. Say, we were in our own sight as grasshopper, and so were we in theirs. How did they know they were like in their sight? You know what? Because of the crowd. And you know, that's why I don't rather walk along with God than walk with 1,000 people without God. Amen? And that's what we need to learn in our walk with God. If you have to leave all your friends, as long as you got God, you got more than enough. Don't win people and lose God. You have to have God. So let's continue the story in Numbers 14 chapter. Alright? We're going to see how their rebellion and how God responds to their rebellion. Because God said, listen, you're not, I don't want you to follow the crowd. Right? So verse 1 says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Now the question is, why would they murmur against Moses and Aaron when all they were doing is what God said? Right? They were only doing what God said to them. Because the crowd, they influences them very bad. Watch negative influences. You don't need nobody toxic in your life. Anything that's toxic in your life, eliminate it. I told my wife who we were dealing with the banks, this one guy, I won't use his name, he was so toxic, I said, sir, I cannot deal with you anymore. I didn't tell him how toxic he was. So from the time he turned toxic, I never spoke to him again. Right? Only my wife talked to him. Right? I did to him, I said, listen, I don't deal with toxic people. I don't deal with anybody to tell me what God can't do. I said, so you can't talk to me, you talk to my wife, because I'm about to push you to the side anyway. Right? When we got to church, I was gonna call him up and say, hey, I want to call Frank to come here to visit us. I said, nah, this is you're toxic. I don't want me at all. Right? Toxic people, you don't need them. If they're family, you don't need them. Because we can do bad all by ourselves. You don't need nobody to tear you down, you need people to build you up. The crowd, we in the crowd get comfortable in themselves. Right? They rest in their own abilities. But he said, by might shall no man prevail. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. So if you got God's spirit fight for you, you're alright. Amen? And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had. Now listen, the Lord told Moses that I heard the cry of my people because of their cruel bondage that they were going through. Listen, now watch the crowd, because the crowd will take you back into a bondage. They said, would have been better if we were back there in bondage. They were practicing infanticide, killing all their children. They want to go back to that. Watch the crowd. The crowd will mess you up every time. Alright? It says, and they said, one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, you all skipped that one section, but I'm going to read it. Oh, I guess a problem. We know the scripture. Let's keep going. I know I messed up somewhere in there. All right. Amen. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were them that searched out the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding. They tried, and they're the minority. It's hard sometimes when you're in the minority, because people won't listen to you, because they want to listen to the one, the crowd. All right? They say, it is a what? Good land. If the Lord just enlightened me, amen, then he will bring us into this land and give it us. But what did he tell him? The promise is, don't what? Only rebel not ye. Yes. So the crowd was doing what? Rebelling against the Lord. So did the Lord take this lightly? No, let's see what happens. For they are bread for us, and defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. But all the congregation made stone them. Where? Why are you going to stone them? What did they do wrong? The crowd. The crowd at heaven has like a riotous attitude. And so important. When the crowd, my mom always told us this growing up. She said, when the crowd runs one way, go the other way. That's what she told us. She said, when the crowd goes that way, you go the other way. She said, most of the time, the people that get hurt are the ones that are innocent in the crowd. They follow the crowd. So she said, stay away from the crowd. So that's how I always have been. That's why I don't like going to all these football stadiums. Too many people around these places. I don't follow the crowd. I don't. Amen. I like my never CC. I ain't trying to put them on that. My mom told us that, so that's what we do. I don't know what your mom told you. But my mom told us, when the crowd goes one way, you go the other way. She said, everybody else go one way, go the opposite. Because as people of God, especially, we have to learn to be our own people. Like, we can't follow the crowd, all right? And the Lord, okay, all the congregations made stone down with stone. So the crowd influenced what? The whole congregation. Toxic people are very bad, right? Well, you would think someone in the crowd, in the congregation would have said, no, let's not stone. It got so bad that God had to intervene. Why? Because the crowd was toxic. The crowd was contrary. The crowd was rebellion. The Bible says rebellion is as what? Sin of witchcraft. God hates rebellion. So it got so bad, the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. The only thing that could stop those rebellious presence. Why? Because the crowd was having a greater impact on them than the four actually, Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb. Those four are still alone. Right? But let's see how God responds to rebellion. Right? So, well, we didn't die right away. God said, you didn't die right away, but you didn't get the blessing that the others got. Amen? And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have shown among them, I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them, will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell unto the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, that thou goest before them by day in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. All right, so you can read in between. Listen to the verse 19. He says, upon thy resisting the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But God does not excuse their rebellion. Let's see how God looked at those that became toxic. How many want to just be pure before God? I hope so, because the Bible says, only the pure heart shall see God. Amen. It says, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my, listen, you've seen all this, and we know what God has done, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not rebellion, and they would not hearken my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. And this is what God says. We just don't fall on the ground. Be with God by yourself. He said, but my servant Caleb, because he had what? Another spirit within him, has followed me fully. Right? I don't know how many voices are trying to get us to stop following God. Follow him. Not halfway, but back all the way. I've drawn the line. Follow him out. Even in more details about those that wouldn't go into the promised land. God hates rebellion. And God hates those that refuse to obey his word. So he said, listen, I'm not gonna just instantly strike you dead. He said, but you won't get the promise. You won't get the blessings that other have on because you have rebelled against my word. So Numbers 32:10 says, and the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he swear, this is when they're about to go into the promised land, and Reuben and Gad said, well, Moses, can you give us our plot on this side, because we don't want to go over, because we have our cattle, our family, we're happy here. Moses said, listen, yes, you can stay here as long as you go over and fight with us, and after you win the battle, you come back. He said, but if you don't go over with us, because he realizes that anytime anybody that's in the congregation breaks off and not unified, they break the will of, and the fortitude, or they break the morale of the people. So Moses is saying, listen, and if you and Reuben stay over here, you're going to break the morale of the people, and it's going to be detrimental, just like it happened when those 10 did. So this is what they're dealing with. So he said, listen, as long as you go over and fight with us, then you're all right. He said, but if any time you say you're going to do it and don't do it, this is what's going to happen, okay? He said, as the Lord's anger was kindled at the same time, and he swear saying, surely none of those men that came up out of Egypt from what? 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto God swore. Amen. Remember, we read it in, I believe it's in, Hebrews 6, he said, because he was well by God, he did what? All by himself. When God makes you a promise, don't listen to the crowd. Don't listen to the naysayers. You have to believe God, right? He said, because they didn't believe, 20 years old and upward shall see the land, which shall not see the land, basically, which I swear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not. If any man love anything more than me, God said, you're not worthy of me. He said, not only if you love anything, but if you love your own self more than me, you're what? Not worthy of me. So he said, holy follow me, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they are what? Holy of the Lord. So Caleb and Joshua were in the minority. They didn't allow the crowd to influence them. And the question that we need to address ourselves tonight, how many of us can stand by ourselves? If nobody else will go, how many of us can go? How many of us have that conviction? I'll go by myself as long as I'm obeying God. Alright, we're almost finished. Jesus taught that following the crowd will lead to destruction in Matthew, the 7th chapter. Now, once again, what language did Jesus speak?
Hebrew.
Alright. So, now we know this was interpreted in Greek. Let me read this for you. And then I'll tell you what he says. Jesus draws, you miss it if you don't know the Hebrew comparison. Because he goes back to an Old Testament occasion to show you what happens when you don't stay in the narrow way. Alright. He says, the 13th verse, in the end, the what?
Straight
way. Straight way, no, that don't mean straight. It means what? Narrow. So he said, in the end, it's a narrow gate on a narrow path. Alright? So why is the eight and what? Broad is the way that leads to this destruction is a pole liay. It means cut off, eternal misery, and hell. He says, so as long as you are with the crowd, you're heading for destruction. And many of them which go in there. So Jesus uses the word, he uses the what kind of gate? The narrow or the straight gate, meaning the narrow gate. Now when he uses this, because in the Hebrew it goes back to an occasion when Balaam was going to curse Israel. Right, in the 27th chapter of Numbers, when he's going back to curse Israel. And this is the only time this word is used in the Old Testament. Remember, first of all, the donkey turns out of the way and he doesn't go. But then the scripture says, I think it's Numbers 22:26 for me, I think that's it. And this is when Balaam, because God had told Balaam what? Don't go. Right. But Balaam's purpose, he wanted to go because he wanted the divination. He wants the body of the riches. Alright? 22:26. Right? We know this is when Balak hires him to carry him. Alright? So now Jesus just said in the what? Straight gate of the narrow place, the narrow path. Right? This is what he was saying in Hebrew. So in Hebrew, when you hear this, you go back to this account. This is the only time that Jesus uses this word, that the Old Testament uses this word, is called Mishnah, which means narrow path or narrow way. Alright, so it says, the angel of the Lord went further and stood in the straight way. It's a narrow. This is a, so when Jesus says it, he was saying in this term, Mishnah, I think M-I-S-H-O-L. He says in M-I-S-H-O-L, M-I-S-O-E-L, something like that. Alright, narrow place, where was no way either to turn to the right hand or to the left. So Jesus references where Balaam can't see God. Why can't he see God? Because he's determined to do what he wants to do. So in the narrow way, he couldn't even see God. He was blinded by his own deceit. So when Jesus is telling them that, he's like, listen, you got to stay in the narrow way, but you have to keep your eyes open so you can see God. Because Balaam couldn't see God. But it's bad, his daughter can see God. Right? So he couldn't see God. So this is the only time in the whole Old Testament is where Mishnah is used. Right? I'm about to show you all something. I'm going to show you all something. How to study something. Those that want to use, because I think Sister Ray asked me last week. I'll show you one of the things I use when you're studying, where you can find more in comparing scriptures that's not there in the regular text. Okay? So, in conclusion, the answer is what? In conclusion, don't what? Because if you follow Christ, you will. And Jesus said the prize is a poleo, which is destruction.